that, we want to invite you, Misha, to come up. Lord, we pray your blessing on Misha as she brings your word to us today. Thank you, Father, for what you've deposited in her heart. And I ask that you would open our hearts to hear what she has to say, what your word has to say, Lord God, and bless us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, David.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning? So good to see you guys. My name is Michelle Casas. I'm one of the pastors here at Westside. So good to see some of you that I don't get to see really often. It feels like the year is just now starting, right? After 500 weeks of January, seems like it was never ending. But I'm very, honestly, very excited about this sermon series on the book of Acts. I think God is doing something really special among us. It's a really great reminder of what the church looked like in the beginning and something we always need to keep in mind that has a repercussion in our lives today, right? So I'm very excited. Today we're gonna be talking, about a very interesting story. We're gonna be talking about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I was in a Denver seminary, kind of like, I shouldn't call it a party. You can imagine it was a Denver seminary thing, so it wasn't really a party, but it was like a birthday party. And then some people found out that I was preaching today, and they're like, oh, great, like, what are you preaching about? I was like, oh, Ananias and Sapphira, and they're like, ooh, like, all of them, you know? And like, one of them, I think, actually said, ew. It's like, okay, yeah. And if you know, this story is, it's a very interesting story. It's a story about this couple that sells their property and decide to keep a little bit for themselves. But when they present themselves, they wanted to give all of their money that of the property that they just sold to the apostles. I don't know if you remember, but in Acts 2, there was this thing going on in the church that the Bible tells us everyone was selling everything they own and giving it to people in need. There was no property among them. They would share food. They would gather with sincere hearts, you know, and personally, I believe Ananias and Sapphira must have seen this, and they're like, cool, everyone's doing this. So, but the difference is that they keep a little part for themselves. But when they present themselves to the apostles and they ask them, hey, so did you sell your property? And they're like, yeah, is this all the money? And they lie. And they say, yeah, this is all the money from the property which is sold. And the consequence of that is that they end up dying. That's why it's such a hard story to share. And in a sense, I believe that Ananias and Sapphira were wearing a mask. What they wanted was to present themselves in such a way to people while in the background, something different was happening. So I think today the Holy Spirit can talk to us. I've prayed for him to be moving today. And I just pray that if the Lord is stirring up something in your heart that you know, hey, I think I'm wearing a mask in this area of my life. I think I am portraying something to everyone else to fit, to, you know, be in the trend, like hashtag sell your property, hashtag share everything with the poor, you know, like who knows what was going on. Like, I just want to be in the trend. I just want to fit. I just want to look like everyone wants me to look in this room, especially. That happens a lot in the church setting. I just hope the Holy Spirit is stirring something in your heart. And if God is preparing your heart for you to think in this way that I just need to rip this mask off from me, that you would listen and that you would open your heart for what he has to do. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to start reading Acts 5. I'll start in verse 1. I believe in the English Bible is 707 and in the Spanish Bible is 939. So if you want to follow with your Bible, sometimes it's more helpful. If not, it's also going to be on the screen. So Acts 5 says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to us, you have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Then Ananias heard this. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. After about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your son, your husband, are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At the moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. When I was in my missionary school, so I graduated university. That's when I met Jesus, and I was like, I want to become a missionary. I want to be all in. I want to live for the gospel. I am leaving everything, which wasn't a lot, to be honest, but I was like, I'm going to leave it all. I want to follow Jesus. And I decided, I worked for one full year after that. I have a business management degree, so I worked in that area. And I was like, God, please, like, open the doors for me. And I ended up going to missionary school. This missionary school was really, really strict. We would spend, I think we had half a day off every 2 weeks or something like that. We'd spend the mornings learning theology, the Bible. And in the afternoons, we would serve. And it was a lot. But one of the coolest things about this missionary school is that some of their students would get to go on a mission trip to Europe. And although I was not supposed to go, by pure miracle, I ended up going to the Europe 2012 mission trip. And the only reason I ended up going was because my heart was for India. India's really big in my heart in terms of missions. And for various reasons, I've never been able to be there yet. But I was going to get in touch with a person that my pastor knew that had a lot of contacts in India and actually had a ministry running in India. And he was like, I just want you to personally meet him. Maybe like he can talk to you about it. What if he can take you there and you can start doing missions? So that's literally the whole reason why I went all the way from Bolivia to Europe. I was never able to meet this person. Either he wasn't available, or I got lost in a bus in the middle of London, or it was just so many things that happened. I was never able to meet him. So at the end of this trip, I was so, so, so disappointed at God, because I was like, God, here I am trying to serve you. Here I am, you know, I came all the way from Bolivia. Someone else could have taken my spot, that they couldn't come, and you brought me. Like, I just don't understand. And on the way back, we were on a plane, obviously, and I was just with such a bad attitude towards God. One of the main rules in our mission school was you always have to carry your physical Bible, not phones, not I remember so-and-so verse. You have to carry it. They were very strict about it, because they were like, if anyone needs you, you need to be able to tell them, okay, so let me show you here in Genesis, this is what happened. And then now let me show you what does that mean about, you know, in the life of Jesus and all of that. So I was so mad at God, guys, that I purposely put my Bible in the checked-in luggage. That's how you call it, right? So I was like, oh, if anyone were to ask me in the plane, I don't want to talk about God and like stuff like that. I was really, really frustrated, throwing a fit basically, right? So, but God had his plans. So you know how when you're in a plane, some people are like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity to talk to people. And some people are like, I just hope I get aisle or I get the window so I can just stare at it, you know, for like 4 hours and not talk to anyone. Why? And then the person in the middle is just like, I hate my life, you know?
Yeah, we could
do that. Really, really big plane that had different sections. Okay. And there were three rows on the left, three rows on the right, seven seats in the middle, and I was in the middle of the plane. So I was like, okay, like this is gonna be, I think it was 13 hours, I'm not really sure, but I was like, I think it's gonna be long, but it's okay. My Bible's in there, like I'm not gonna talk to anyone.
You know? That.
And this guy and his wife sat down next to me, and he was like, they were being super nice, and they're like, hey, I saw that you ate everything. We actually cannot eat our dessert. Do you want our dessert? So I'm like, fine, you know, like I'm just like, I don't wanna talk to anyone. And he kept persistent and persistent. Him and his wife would ask like a couple of things. I don't even remember it. And at the end, he was like, oh, do you see those nuns? Like, did you see that we have nuns on the plane? And I was like, oh yeah. He was like, yeah, I wonder what their lives are like. And I'm like, nothing related to God. Don't talk about God. You're mad at him. Remember this. And they were, and he kept insisting. He was like, I wonder what God is like.
What?
I'm like, oh shoot. Now I just cannot keep it inside. Like, it cannot be like, oh, I don't really know. You know, like, I can't fake it. Like, I've been studying, not that I know everything about God, obviously, but I've been studying him all this time. So then I'm like, I think God really convicted me. And I was like, you know what? I can be mad. I think God allows me to be mad, but I can't fake it. I need to talk to this guy. We ended up talking, and his wife at some point was like, okay, I'm done. And she just like kind of zoned out or was on her phone or something. But for 4.5 hours, he kept asking question after question. And I kid you not, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize stuff. I knew every verse in my mind of everything I wanted to tell you for 4.5 hours. I think it was God telling me, yeah, you're mad, you may have your plans, but your Bible is here, you know? So we ended up talking, and at the end he was like, wow, how do you know these things? Like, how do you live in such a way? Because he would ask me, and then what do you guys do in your missionary school? And I would mention, he'd be like, how are you like that? And then with great fear, because I know my plans, my human plans were different. I was like, oh, because I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And his answer was, I can see that because of the way you live and the way you're talking to me. And I got really scared because I was like, God, my plans were so different than yours. And to the point, to be honest, that he asked, kind of like what the eunuch asked Philip, no. Was like, okay, then, you've told me all of this. I want to be born again. What impedes me from being born again? And I was like, nothing. I felt like a Philip moment right there. It's like, nothing does. So he clicked on the button on top of the, you know, on the aircraft, and he called the air attendant, and she brought a glass of water, and I baptized him there on the plane. So it was like such a, like, praise God, like, you're in control and not me. But you know what? Something that reminded me as I was reading this sermon was like, God, whatever we show to people can see. People, we might think we're lying to them for good or for bad, you know, like sometimes masks have to do with like, let me show you that I'm this way, but people are like, I'm not really seeing it. Or sometimes it could be something like this, that, oh, I'm trying to not show God, but I just can't because I've been learning so much about him, then I want to share it, you know. And people can tell. And what he answered to me was like, oh yes, I can tell. And I think that's such an important lesson for what we see in the life of Sapphira and Ananias, is that they were trying to fit a mold. They were trying to put a mask and present themselves to the people in a way that in reality didn't work out. And Peter's answer is like, you haven't just lied to us. You haven't lied to humans. You have lied to God. So when we think we're presenting ourselves in a way that is not real, we believe we might be fooling each other. We might be fooling our pastors. We might be fooling our friends. But either they see it, but they won't say it. But more than that, God sees it, and he knows that you're not lying to humans. You are lying to God. Some commentators say, and there's a huge debate actually, that whether Sapphira and Ananias were Christians or not. There's a lot going on. Some assure that they were, some assure that they're not, and they show their ideas of why. Personally, I don't really want to get there today. I would love to have conversations if anyone wants to, but I don't think the time allows me to focus on that right now. But I do want to focus on the consequences of their sin. Because I think sometimes in church, we don't talk about the consequences. We move the pendulum too much to the right of like, yeah, but as long as you feel good, as long as you know that God loves you, it's okay. Have what's some phrase that I heard here? You gotta be, what is this? Have some grace on yourself. That's, I always hear that. Have some grace on yourself. That's okay, you know. But hypocrisy, the mask that Sapphira and Ananias present themselves, had serious consequences. And if it's in the Bible, I think it's worth talking about it because it's in part of God's word. You know, As I was saying, they probably heard that, hey, everyone was coming with sincere hearts, bringing their everything that they have and sharing it with everyone. And I love how it wasn't really a commandment. It wasn't like, if you want to become a Christian, you raise your hand if you want to be a Christian. Yeah, okay. First thing is you need to believe in Jesus. Second thing, you need to sell everything and give it to the poor. Then you are considered a Christian. It wasn't a requirement. And actually, Peter says it. Why did you do this? Wasn't the house already yours? And then when you sold it, wasn't the money yours at your disposal? Like, why? The idea, the sin was that they lied about it. It wasn't, yes, I understand that there was greed. A lot of people, when they preach about it, they talk about greed. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, because the Bible does warn us about greed and about loving money and God, and you cannot have two lords. I totally get that. But Peter's answer was not like, oh, what you did wrong was that you kept apart. It was like, this already belonged to you. How come you come to lie about it? And these are the consequences that it's showing about showing ourselves in a way that is not real. It was the hypocrisy of it that was the big deal. And the big deal about it that is that it carried consequences that had to do with their lives. So they end up losing their lives. They are wearing a mask. They want to look better in front of men, disregarding how they are looking in front of the Holy Spirit. And that has consequences for them. The concept of hypocrisy is the claim to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's actions do not conform. Let me say it again. The claim, hypocrisy is the claim to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's actions do not conform. So basically, for me, hypocrisy is wearing a mask. It's saying you're something that you actually are not. It's trying to portray this that is not real. And this topic of integrity and hypocrisy is very big in the Bible. Just to throw some of the examples, Jesus said, this is how they will know that you're my disciples, when you love one another. People can tell if for real we love one another or we're wearing masks. And actually, the number one complaint of non-Christians toward Christians is that we're hypocrites, because we're acting in a way that is different from the one that we're claiming that we are. You know, when the Bible talks about elders, for example, all the requirements it puts to elders, they're really, really high standards. Must not drink wine, must not, you know, like have control of his household, be a good husband, like all of these things. And you just wonder like, man, how can they live up to that standard? It's like, okay, only through Jesus, only through God, because the stand, if not, they would have to wear a mask. They would have to come here and wear a mask in front of everyone. And another example is Stephen, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. Can you imagine if, as he's being stoned to death, if he were to say, never mind, guys, let me take my Christian mask, never mind. It's okay, don't kill me, because I actually don't believe in Jesus that much. It wasn't like that. He was like, yes, I cannot fake it, I'm sorry. You're gonna kill me? That sucks. I don't know if sucks is a bad word in church. I'm sorry, it's my second language. But I'm sorry, like, I'm just sorry, I can't fake it. This is me, and this is just who I am. If I die, I die. Esther, actually, talking about if I die, I die. You know, Esther, why would she have said if she had changed her mind and said, like, never mind, you know, just kill them because I'm already in your kingdom and I'm going to live anyway. So do whatever you want with my people. No, she was like, I have to present myself. I cannot fake it. So this topic of integrity and hypocrisy, it's a big deal for God. It's a big deal in the Bible. And once again, the world can tell when what we say and what we believe reflects the way we live and act. The world can tell. Now, the question is, how do we stop it then? Okay, we know that that's not okay, but how do we stop it? And I just want to remind us that the main reason Jesus had an issue with the Pharisees was because they were wearing a mask in front of people. That literally was the number one thing, was like, hey, you guys are putting standards on people that you cannot even follow, and you're not even following, but you're showing people that you are, and you're not. So it is a big deal. How, what is going on inside? And this can start talking to us. What are the areas that I'm like showing? Because sometimes it's pressure. We can feel pressure. And I understand that completely of, hey, that person prays so much. You know, when I talk to them, I can just say, hey, yeah, prayer. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely praying as well. And in reality, it's not. And I can almost hear Peter's words like, just say you didn't. But don't say you did when you're not. Like, what, you know, you have the freedom. Jesus sent us free. Like, they were free to sell their stuff or not if they didn't want to. And this was a characteristic of the Pharisees that Jesus confronted constantly. And I hope that he confronts in us. I know it's a hard message, and I know it's hard to hear, but it's necessary. It matters. It matters, and it has consequences when we're hiding things from the church, because ultimately we're hiding them from God. And only through Jesus we can bring light to those areas. Only through Jesus we can bring light and take off our masks. And he can bring light to those masks and say, you're saying you're acting this way as my follower, but you know better. You know you're not. Just bring it to life. And there's freedom in that. It has become such a cliche sometimes. I don't know if you guys agree to say, oh, I'll pray for you. Yeah, something happened. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Oh, yeah, this is happening. Yeah, let's pray for them. And I wonder how many times we actually do it. How many times do we actually stop and pray, but we're saying we are. Oh, yeah, I've been praying about this. How often do we say that? Yeah, I've been praying about this. How often is it actually happen? I just wonder. If the answer is not like, oh, yeah, just don't pray, no. Or, oh, yeah, you know, like, exactly, like, just continue lying and just say you're praying, no. I think the answer is like, be transformed by God so you actually pray. So when you show up, you can say, I prayed because I prayed. Not, don't just say it because it fits the church, because it fits the standard of a Christian, because everyone's doing it, because everyone's selling their houses, so... Ananias, everyone's doing it. Let's do it. I feel left out. You know, FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm feeling that. So how do we solve this issue of hypocrisy? I believe, bottom line, we need more of Jesus and less of ourselves. I think when we fear God, which I'm going to get to that, when we fear God, we're not scared to not meet people's expectations. On one hand, I want us to keep the tension. But at the same time, because we fear God, he's able to transform us so we meet his standards. So the other extreme would be to say like, oh, don't, just come as you are, stay as you are, don't worry, it's okay, have grace on yourself, don't be transformed. Because sometimes we might not say those words exactly, don't be transformed, but that's basically what we're preaching. Don't worry, no, God understands, COVID, it's been a hard year, yeah, do not worry. No, I want to tell you, fear God, fear his standards, but be transformed. And by his Holy Spirit, you will be able to meet his standards through Jesus, not the other way. Let me put this pretty face. Let me show that I am the most, you know, the person that prays the most, fasts the most, worships the best, and so I can fit and hopefully be accepted by God. No, it goes the other way around. Come to God as you are. Yes, come as you are, but be transformed. Be willing to be transformed by fearing the Lord. Now, fearing the Lord, it's an interesting thing. I don't know how many of you read the WCI news this week. Fear, I was writing it, and fear has such a negative emotional connotation, right? Fear is like, I have a threat, so I fear that. I'm distressed because I might be attacked, you know? In the Bible, how come it tells us to fear the Lord so many times throughout its word? And it's because fearing the Lord is understanding who he is. You know, when we're, this was beautiful worship, by the way, when we realize who he is and we say, Hosanna al Rey de Salvación, he's the king of my salvation. I have been set free. I fear him, but it's like a reverence, like, oh, have my, all my honor, all the glory is yours, all the honor is yours. I reverent, like, I bow down to you because I fear you. I've understood who you are, and I am not like that. You are God, and I'm a human, and I've just understood your majesty, your might, your power, all of that. That is fearing God. And I think when we do that, we are transformed. And then we're able, through Jesus, we're able to meet his standards. And then we can come and say, ah, yeah, did you pray? Yeah, you know, God woke me up at 5 a.m. and I just decided to pray. Oh, you know what? Yeah, did you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, I just was thinking about, you know, maybe putting some goals, and yeah, you know, it's been such a good time. I have been, or we can say, no, I haven't. I haven't been reading. Yeah, I should. That should bring us in mind. Yeah, I should spend more time with God, because when we spend, the more time we spend with him, it's such a good time to be worshiping and reading the Bible and then praying. But that happens by spending time. It's relational. We spend time with him, and therefore we're transformed. You know, the consequences of Ananias and Sapphira lying were death. And I think that's why I got that ill answer last night, because no one wants to talk about those type of consequences. But there are serious, serious consequences about hypocrisy at the church. And this is llamado de atención. How do you say that? Call out? Yeah, a call out for us. There are serious consequences to hypocrisy. We would think today, because, you know, Peter was rough. He was like, hey, you have not lied to us, but to the Holy Spirit. So then, boom, dead. Wife comes, same thing, boom, dead. You know, consequences are so big. And we would think like, oh, wasn't that a little too much? Like, you know, you actually said it belonged to them. And then after they sold it, the money was at their disposal. Like, what is the big deal? And we would think, let's not do that. Let's not do that, because it's just kind of going to hurt the church. Like, who's going to want to come at Westside if someone just falls and dies because they didn't, you know, give their taxes, you know, like, but they said they did, you know? It would be so scary, but it actually didn't hurt the church. It actually did. And if we go to verse 12 and 14, I don't know if we have them ready, but, you know, so it says, let me just read it to you. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together on Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, duh, even though they were highly regarded by the people. But hear this, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. When the Holy Spirit is showing something to his church, it doesn't hurt the church. It's not going to make it go anywhere. We could be so scared about church attendance. We could be so scared if our friends are going to like us or not, if we're going to be able to fit the trend. The church is not going anywhere, guys. When the Holy Spirit is orchestrating things, it will end up giving glory to God. It will end up adding numbers to the kingdom of God. It didn't hurt the church at all, actually. If we were to write the Bible today, if we were Peter, what would we say, honestly? You obviously don't have to tell me, but honestly, what would we tell Ananias and Sapphira? It's okay. At least you brought a big part of it. Yeah, well, who am I to tell you what to do? You know, I don't want to get into your personal stuff with your wife, or let's not hurt their feelings, guys. Let's just have them, you know. But it was such an important voice, guided by the Bible tells us that Peter, guided by the Spirit, says, you have done this thing to the Holy Spirit. You haven't lied to us. Even though this was yours, you lied about it. And then you haven't done this to us, but you've done it to the Spirit. And the consequences, once again, are really big. When we fear God,
I don't know why
God wins, and we get to enjoy the consequences, right? When we're in reverence to him, we're able to worship him. God wins, and we're able to enjoy this freedom, to enjoy his presence, to enjoy this relationship. When we fear men, God still wins, but unfortunately, we have to bear with the consequences of trusting men, of wanting to impress men rather than God. So once again, when we fear God, God wins, and we get to enjoy the consequences of that. When we fear men, God still wins, but unfortunately, we bear with the consequences of trusting more men, of wanting to impress men more than we want to impress God. Not that he needs to be impressed by us, but it's just a trust thing, just acknowledging who he is. Let me call the worship team, please. In the second part of this chapter, I don't think it's a coincidence, but in the second part, Peter and the apostles are preaching everywhere, and they get in so much trouble. They get in so much trouble that they're put in prison. And by God's spirit, the lock of the prison is open and they're able to go out. So since they're not criminals, after being in prison, you would think like, oh, great, you're free. Go hide because they're going to be after you. They're going to wonder where you were. But that wasn't the case. After they leave prison, they go straight to the temple and they continue preaching because that's what they knew they needed to do. They didn't need to hide anything. They couldn't hide it. So the high priest sees this, and he basically is like, more than being mad, to be honest, it sounds like he was just like amazed. Actually, the Bible uses the word amazed at them. It's like, why are you guys still doing this? Like, you guys were in prison. You saw the consequences of preaching this Jesus that you say died and resurrected from the dead. So why are you doing this? And Peter's answer is like, we don't fear men. We fear God. That is his answer. And check out the difference. I don't think it's a coincidence, but check the difference of attitude between Ananias and Sapphira and then Peter and the apostles. I fear how they're going to see me because everyone's doing this in the church that I just want to fit. So let us just show ourselves like that and maybe we can fool them and fit in. Versus, I'm sorry. Yeah, you might kill me. Yeah, you might put me in prison again, which is cold, and I get hungry, and I get thirsty, and it's so uncomfortable. I'm so sorry. I just cannot, because I cannot. I don't fear men. I don't fear men. I fear God. And that's why they lived in such a way. The first, it's guided by lie, hiding the truth, and acting in hypocrisy about who they say they are and their moral standards. The others literally cannot fake it. Physically, spiritually cannot fake who they are. They're just that way. No matter the consequences, they have to show who they are. And what makes the difference between this group and the other? God. God does. Fearing God is what changes everything. And that's what changes you and I. It's not our great moral standards that we can have of how disciplined we could be or how much we try. Those things are great. I'm not saying they're bad, don't have moral standards, but you're going to get tired. And at some point, you're going to have to start putting a mask because you have a big standard to keep up with in front of people. And it will show. In Spanish, we say, la verdad tiene patas cortas. Truth has short legs. You cannot hide it. And if God's stirring up something in your heart, it doesn't have to be property related, but if he's showing you, are you wearing a mask right now? And are you tired of wearing that mask? He's able to transform that. He's able to transform that, and you can be honest to him. Actually, you want to be honest with him, because even if you're not honest, he knows the truth already, and you wouldn't be lying to men. You would be lying to God. So I want us, maybe we can stand up. I want to give us the opportunity, and I wanted to invite also Cindy and David. If you need prayer, if you need someone to guide you through this, or if you want to do it from your seat, that's okay. But maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Maybe we've been trying to fit into the mold of Christianity for a really long time. Social media doesn't really help. We all want to be that perfect family picture on Facebook, which we know it's technically not even true, but we all want to do that. if you're tired of putting a mask on your Christian life, and you know what? I'm actually not there in my prayer time. You know, I'm actually not there in my ability to relate to my family. We're actually not doing really good. You know, actually, I'm not really there with my giving. You know, I'm actually not there spending time with God. You know, when I'm here, yeah, I want to be with people and I worship, but I'm not really there sometimes. The answer is not, oh, then don't be. The answer is come to God, fear God. He's a good, good God. And he's able to transform you for this to be a mask that you're putting to actually be you. He's able to transform you. His Holy Spirit still is at work today. So I want to invite you to have the opportunity to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's still at work today. Let me just close in prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, we can feel you in this place. Holy Spirit, we know that you're at work. We know we cannot fool you anymore. We know you're stirring up our hearts, stirring up our minds, and leading us to truth. Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, and only through him, he's the only way, only through him we have access to the Father. But we know that we are human and there's areas where we're not living in truth. We're not following the way. We have slipped out of the road. Oh Lord, as you are a merciful Lord, a good, good Father, would you use this time to transform our hearts, Lord? Make this not be another Sunday that we participate in a meeting, but actually be a before and after our lives, because we know you have the power to do that.